Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Father Yahweh, we come before you, thanking and praising your name on this, your holy Sabbath day. Father, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to prepare people for you, that you would cause each of our hearts, Father, to be rent, to be torn apart as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We know, Father, that we are merely a sinful people, and our righteousness is filthy rags. And we know, Father, that it's only through the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, that we have an opportunity at life everlasting. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to not look at each other, but at ourselves in that mirror, so that we can see the sin that is within us and turn from our wicked ways. Help us, Father, as we try our best to be your people, to overcome this world and Satan the devil, as we keep your covenant law to the best of our ability. And we know, Father, that it's only through the blood of Yahshua that we can do your will and be perfect, because it's through his blood that we can reach perfection. And it's only through his blood that we have salvation. So, Father, as we seek to emulate the life of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who had compassion on the people, he showed love to his enemy and to his neighbor. Help us, Father, to overcome ourselves, because too often we put ourselves above others. We put ourselves above your people. So help us, Father, as we try to be faithful in everything we do, as we try, Father, to overcome this life and Satan the devil as he presents himself to us. Keep us, Father, in the hollow of your hand, in the shadow of your wings, Father, as we try our best to do your will and be faithful servants of yours. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we come before you asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, Saved by His Life. That's saved by His life. Almighty Yahweh is preparing a people for himself. He is taking sinners and converting them into saints. Regardless of what we have done, we have been offered a free gift, not something earned or inherited. Through one act of righteousness, this free gift came to all men to the justification of life. Yahweh has given us his grace, which is unmerited kindness, brethren. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to start there in verse 1. That's Romans chapter 5. We're going to spend a lot of time in Romans 5. So, you know, kind of keep that as your key scripture. We'll go back and forth. But Romans 5 will be our first. Starting in verse 1, it says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our master, Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we... also, we have had our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It's not something that we've done. This is something that Yahshua and Yahweh has done for us. We haven't earned this grace. Remember, it's unmerited kindness. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance approval, and approval hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of Yahweh has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. And that Holy Spirit is given after baptism. See? There are a lot of people out here who are imposters, who are posers, saying they have Yahweh's Holy Spirit that have not been baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. But we have received that gift, that free gift. For while we were yet weak, in due season the Messiah died for the lawless. He died for each and every one of us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For possibly for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But Yahshua died for us while we were yet sinners. Well, I'm going to give you another example of a type of Yahshua. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. This man was considered the meekest man on the earth, and that's Moses. Exodus chapter 32. Remember, we're saved by his life. Speaking of Yahshua the Messiah, we'll see that in the word shortly. But in Exodus 32, starting in verse 26, it says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp." And that's where the elders normally stood, in the gate, and said, "Whoever's on Yahweh's side, let him come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves to him, together to him. And he said to them, "In this manner, says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, put each man his sword on his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each one kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor." And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses said, "Set yourselves apart. Set yourselves apart." That's what sacred means, for being holy. When you set yourself apart, there's a special purpose for it. Today, for Yahweh, we were supposed to set ourselves apart today for Yahweh, since each man was against his son and against his brother, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. You think about what we're doing. Think about what we're doing, how Yahweh has set us apart. He's given us a special blessing. We're set apart by the blood of the Lamb, by the life of Yahshua the Messiah. I told you, Moses was similar. He was special because these were rebels. In verse 30 it says, "And it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to Yahweh. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.'" So he's taking the position of Yahshua the Messiah as far as the people is concerned. He went to try to make atonement for their sin. And Moses returned to Yahweh and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made for themselves an Elohim of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your book which you have written." And Yahweh said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And now go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. However, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." And Yahweh struck the people with plagues because they made the calf which Aaron made. So, again, it's the people who sin are the ones that's going to be judged. So think about that as we are preparing ourselves for the Passover memorial, as we're preparing our lives to be cleansed before Yahweh so that we can come before him, because that's what we want to do. Go back to Romans chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. Remember, this is entitled Saved by His Life. And this is the life of Yahshua the Messiah that we're saved by. Verse 8, it says, but Yahweh commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of Elohim through him. We're saved through Yahshua's blood, through his life. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of his son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And that's where I took the title, Saved by His Life, from. And not only so, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Psalm 34. In the days before the Day of Atonement, and in the days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day we had New Year's this year, we started. We had 10 days to look at ourselves and our lives before Passover. And as we looked at our lives and ourselves, did we find anything unseemly? Did we find anything that needed to be changed? In verse 1 of Psalm 34, it says, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, if his praise is continually in your mouth, that means that nothing negative can come out of it. You're not going to be saying things about people negatively. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The meek shall hear of it and be glad. More of us need to be like Moses, who was the meekest man. He was concerned about the people of Yahweh. He was willing to give up his life. But Yahweh told him, no, I'm not going to blot you out of the book of life. I'm going to blot those who sin against me. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yahweh and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So when we seek Yahweh, he's going to bless us, brethren. He's going to relieve us of all anxiety, of all problems, of all concerns about this life. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Does it say that he saved him out of some of his troubles? No, it said it saved the poor man out of all his troubles. And Yahweh does the same for each and every one of us that's faithful to him. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. Yes, he is. All the time. And all the time, Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. Oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. So if we fear Yahweh, then we're not going to be worried about things. We're not going to be anxious about things because we trust and we believe in him, because we're going to be saved by his life, speaking of Yahshua. Back to Romans. We know that the angel of Yahweh, as it talks about in Psalm 34, is Yahshua the Messiah. And that's why we're going to be saved by his life. But we have to not only have his Holy Spirit, because even people are baptized. You know what happens? Just like in Psalm 51, when David sinned against Yahweh with Bathsheba, he was worried about losing that Holy Spirit, because you can't sin and maintain the Holy Spirit at the same time. See? That's why David was so concerned about Yahweh taking his Holy Spirit from him. See? back in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed to all men, for that all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned over Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Talking about Adam. But see, there's a new Adam, and that's Yahshua the Messiah, and we're saved by his life. Turn to John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Yahshua the Messiah. Grace and truth came through Yahshua the Messiah. Back to Romans chapter 5. We'll start in verse 15. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one the many died, much more did the grace of Yahweh and the gift by the grace of the one man, Yahshua the Messiah, abound to many. So through Adam, sin came into the world. But through Yahshua came grace and truth. Verse 16, and not as though one that sinned, not as through one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment came of one to condemnation. But the free gift came of many trespasses to justification. For if by the trespass of the one death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Yahshua the Messiah. So then, as through one trespass the judgment came to all men to condemnation, even so through one act of righteousness the free gift came to all men to justification of life. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. We're talking about Adam. Even so, through the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous, and that's Yahshua the Messiah. See, we're saved through his life. And the law came, and besides, that the trespass might abound. But where sin increased, grace increased more greatly, that as sin reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness to eternal life through Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. So you have to have that blood of Yahshua covering you to be saved by his life. Back to Psalm 34. We'll start in verse 10. Psalm 34, verse 10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahweh shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Think about what you say out your mouth. If we're blessing Yahweh at all times and his praise is continually in our mouth, as it says in verse 1, then we don't have any negative words to speak about one another. Verse 15, it says, the eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He hears the righteous, brethren. The righteous cried, and Yahweh heard. Well, back in verse 16, it says, the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the righteous cried, and Yahweh heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. Again, it doesn't say he delivered them out of some of their troubles. It says he delivers them out of all their troubles, brethren. Yahweh is near to them that are of a broken heart. And that's what we have to have. He's looking for those that have a contrite spirit. And he saves such as of a contrite spirit. If we have that broken heart, and that contrite spirit, then Yahweh is going to be with us. He's going to be looking out for each and every one of us. In verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. Are we thankful? Are we rejoicing in the thought, knowing that Yahweh is going to deliver us? At all times, out of every affliction, out of every problem that we come in contact with, that we have. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall kill the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be condemned. Yahweh redeems the soul of his servant, and none of them that take refuge in him shall be condemned. As we look at our lives, brethren, as we prepare for the Passover memorial, are we concerned about other people? Are we concerned about those that are our enemies, that may hate us for some reason? Yahweh is near to them that are of a broken heart and save such as are of a contrite spirit. We know Moses was the meekest man on the earth. He was willing to put his life on the line for the people of Israel. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 1. Moses is a type of Yahshua the Messiah. He delivered the people from Egypt and took them to the promised land. Yahshua is delivering us from this evil world, this society, to the kingdom of Yahweh. In verse 1 of Numbers 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, and why does Yahweh bring us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be a prey. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? See, that's the problem with most people. They think that their way is better than what Yahweh has given. Yahweh has determined what's good for us, what's best for us. But it's too often we think we know what's best. Verse 4, they said, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Yahshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh delights in us, and that's what I preached last week about Yahweh delighting in his people, and he truly does delight in us, brethren. If Yahweh delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Yahweh, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and Yahweh is with us. And truly, he is with his people, brethren. Fear them not. But all the congregation said to stone them with stone. And the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tent of meeting to all the children of Israel. And Yahweh said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me? And that's a good question, brethren. His word is truth. It's here. We can read it from day to day. We just read what it said in Psalm 34. The angel of Yahweh goes before his people. What do we have to worry about, the people of the world? We don't. Yahweh has given us the victory. All we have to do is be saved by Yahshua's life. Accept that shed blood. If you don't have the blood of Yahshua covering you now, you need to take care of that. You need to get baptized. You need to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that when that change comes, you're able to be transformed. In verse 11, and Yahweh said to Moses, how long will his people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me? For all the signs which I have wrought among them, I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Drop down to verse 17. And now I pray you, let the power of the sovereign be great according as you have spoken, saying, Yahweh is slow to anger and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And truly he has. If Yahweh didn't forgive our transgressions and our iniquity, we would not be here, brethren. It's by the blood and by the life of Yahshua, the Messiah, that we've been saved. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children on the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I pray you, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy. And as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And Yahweh was patient. He did. But he told them they were going to die in their own sins in the wilderness. Because 10 times he showed them his great mercy and his power, and they still did not believe. What about us, brethren? Do we believe in Almighty Yahweh? In our daily walk, every day that we go out, the blessings that he's bestowed upon us, the great gifts he's given us, our life, our health, even some of the other trials that we've gone through. He said out of all of them, he would deliver us out of each and every one of them. Do we still believe? In verse 20, and Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to your word. See, Moses was an intercessor too, like Yahshua. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as all the earth will be filled with the glory of Yahweh, because all those men that have seen my glory and my signs, which I wrought in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that despise me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, a different spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land in which he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, the Amalekite and the Canaanite dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn and go into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And they went back into the wilderness for another 38 years or whatever. They were there for 40 years. They died in the wilderness in their own sin. Now, even that great man, Moses, chapter 20. Turn over to chapter 20. We'll start in verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses again and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died with our brethren when our brethren died before Yahweh. And why have you brought the assembly of Yahweh into the wilderness that we should die there, we and our beasts? And why have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in this to this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of Yahweh appeared to them. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes that it gives forth its water, and you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. And we know that rock is Yahshua the Messiah. See, because we're saved by his life. And that water flows freely to each and every one of us today through the word. So shall you give the congregation and their cattle drink. And Moses took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. Excuse me. In verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Shall we bring you forth water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with the rod twice, and water came forth abundantly. And the congregation drank and their cattle. And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, because you believe not in me, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, because the children of Israel quarreled with Yahweh, and he was sanctified in them. So Moses did something he wasn't supposed to do. He was supposed to speak to the rock, not hit it. But sometimes we get irritated. We get upset when the people, and I know where Moses, speaking as far as the quarreling with Yahweh, but we have to remain humble. And like I said, people say, well, will he be in the kingdom? You know, because he violated, he didn't listen. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. But if you turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, Then said Yahshua to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render to every man according to his deed. Truly I say to you, there are some of them that stand here who shall certainly not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We'll continue in chapter 17, verse 1. It says, and after 6 days, Yahshua takes with him Peter, Jacob, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. And behold, they appeared to them Moses and Eliab talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Yahshua, Master, it is good for us to be here. If you will, I will make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Eliah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were severe afraid. And Yahshua came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one save Yahshua only. Verse 9, it says, And as they were coming down from the mountain, Yahshua commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man shall be risen from the dead. And his disciple asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Eliah must first come? And he answered and said, Eliah indeed comes and shall restore all things. But I say to you that Eliah has come already. And they knew him not, but did to him whatever they would. Even so shall the Son of Man also suffer of them. Then understood the disciples that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. But we know today that Eliah is this message that is being preached in the last days, the restoration message. Almighty Yahweh has saved his people by the life of his son, Yahshua the Messiah. But we have to accept that salvation. Matthew chapter 5. And the way we accept that salvation is not only being baptized and receiving the Spirit. Verse 21, it says, of Matthew chapter 5, You have heard that it was said to them of old time, You shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Racha, which means I spit on you, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, You fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. If therefore you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has anything against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. A lot of people have a problem understanding this passage. But it's not very, very difficult. We're talking about offering to Yahweh. If you know that you have a brother that has an issue with you, your responsibility is to go to him and try to solve the problem. We know of Matthew 18. We deal with that all the time. Turn over to Matthew 18. Which is the first thing that happens. That's the other side of the coin, which is something we also have to do before we offer our gift, before the holy days. Matthew 18:15, it says, And if your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. Very simple. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the assembly. And we see there, we're talking to the administration. And if he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as the Gentile and the publican, which is a sinner. Truly I say to you, whatever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever things you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm presently witnessing to some people who use the pagan name, and they're having a hard time seeing the power or the proper use of Yahshua's name as being what is necessary for salvation, because they've been raised using the pagan name. And they say, well, we speak Spanish, so it's not, you know, something that, you know, it's not something that we need to do. And I'm trying to show them that that which is sacred is always sacred and still sacred. And Yahweh's and Yahshua's name are sacred. Now, go over to Matthew 19. We're going to continue on. In Matthew 19, verse 16, it says, and behold, one came to him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me concerning that which is good? One there is who is good, but if you would inherit into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which? And Yahshua said, you shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have observed. What do I yet lack? Yahshua said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell that which you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Just go, sell, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. But those possessions got in the way of him receiving eternal life. In verse 23, and Yahshua said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And see, we're here, we're rich in America compared to the rest of the world. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And when the disciples heard it, they were very astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But we know we're saved by his life. All we have to do is follow and keep the commandments, brethren. And Yahshua, looking upon them, said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with Yahweh, all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said to him, lo, we have left all and followed you. What then shall we have? And Yahshua said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or children, or lands for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. But many shall be last in that are first, and the first that are last. We are saved by the life of Yahshua the Messiah, the Lamb of Yahweh. He died that we might have life. Let us look into our deepest recesses of our being and get rid of all that offends. Let us show the love of the Messiah to each one we meet. We can overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb, brethren. Let's stop looking at the world through the carnal eyes, but let us, through the Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. For our closing passage, turn to Romans chapter 8. Very, very powerful passage, Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the Messiah Yahshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yahshua made me free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to walk after the Spirit. We cannot be a carnal people after we've received the gift of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Because if we sin, we separate ourselves from Yahweh's Spirit. It can no longer be a part of our life. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against Yahweh. For it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can it be. And they that are of the flesh cannot please Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. And if the Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up the Messiah Yahshua from the dead shall give life also to your mortal body through his Spirit that dwells in you. So, brethren, we know that we are the sons of Elohim because we receive the Spirit of Yahweh. And we live by that Spirit. And we're saved by his life, that life that Yahshua lived, overcoming sin and death and Satan the devil. Verse 12, it says, so then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if you put the deeds of the body to death by the Spirit, you shall live. And that's what we want to do, is live. As many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons of Elohim. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim, and if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh and joint heirs with the Messiah, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. And we have the victory because of Yahshua's life, brethren. Drop down to verse 26. It says, and in like manner the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that to them that love Yahweh, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Brethren, nothing can separate us from the love of the Messiah. All we have to do is continue, because we've been saved by his life. We've been perfected by his Spirit and cleansed by his blood. Almighty Yahweh has given us the ability to look into our hearts and get rid of anything that's not pleasing. We know right from wrong. We also know what we have to do to be in the kingdom. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you are saved by Yahshua's life. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Felix Panero if he would close with a word of prayer. Let me unmute.
Okay, Mr. David. Father Yahweh, te damos gracias en este sábado tan precioso que tú nos permites estar frente a ti. Gracias, Padre Yahweh, por tu palabra, por todo lo que le escuchan en esta tarde. Gracias. Gracias, Padre Yahweh, por el mensaje de esta tarde y todo lo que escucharon en esta tarde. Bendícelos y guárdalos. En Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For our closing song, if you would take your songbooks in hand, we will be singing number 17, Even So. Number 17, Even So.
Even So. Even so, even so, my Yahshua found. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Your throne, Jerusalem. join our hearts together. It's all in one accord. Abundantly tonight, in the spirit of the prayer, in the storm of misapplication, waves of pure heart, the body of Messiah, in a precious sacrifice, even so.
So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is Yahweh who works in you, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure. Hallelujah. And may Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to be a part of this soon coming kingdom. Hallelujah. Did we lose you, Brenda?
Nope. Still
okay.
Here. I had you on mute.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Thank you. I will talk to you later about the Richmond.
Okay. That's good.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Bless you. Shalom. Okay. Yeah, that's the place where... Yeah, but I think this, because she got this from Pam, I think she got the same place. Well, I don't know that part.
Yeah.
Kind of funny?
Funny.
Okay. short poem. Praying for Stephanie Harris and I know. When she called, I didn't know it was off. So then the people start calling back after I called back in after she said something.